Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you today for building a fire in our souls, a fire that we cannot contain, a fire that we cannot control. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be in a place of your love. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you will speak to our hearts today, speak through our hearts today, and may our hearts contain the words that only you can speak to us. And I pray for every speaker tonight that we will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the world will know who we serve. Thank you, Father, for everything that you have done for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
What this dying world could use is a willing man of God, dares to go against the grain and work without applause.
A man who raised the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure. God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authority to reason him away.
He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men.
Thank you.
Amen. Just need a few good men and women to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Shannon?
Yes. Well, I'm going to take my text from 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. So get your Bible and follow along with me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "For the life was manifested," talking about Jesus. He was made known. "And we have seen it." They've seen Jesus. "And bear witness." They not only seen Jesus, but they bear witness of him. "And shew unto you that eternal life." Jesus is that eternal life. Notice this. "Which was with the Father." Talking about Jesus was with the Father. "And was manifested unto us." Now notice this. These are facts of eternal life by John. Number one, people can have it by believing on Christ and God. John chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 says that whosoever, well, I like the word whosoever because that don't leave nobody out. The homosexual can be saved. The lesbian can be saved. The pagans can be saved. The atheist can be saved. The drug addict can be saved. That whosoever believeth in him, that Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. Only eternal life is found in the blood of the cross of Jesus. John 3:16, very familiar passage of Scripture, but it never gets old. I shared John 3:16 today with a Muslim man, and he listened to the gospel. Now, he didn't get saved, but at least the seed of God's word was planted. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," God the Father loved all mankind so much, "that he gave his only begotten Son," that is Jesus, "that whosoever," there's that word whosoever again, "that whosoever believeth in him," believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, "should not perish." We don't have to perish and go to hell. If we'll just repent of our sin and make Jesus the Lord and Savior of our life, don't have to go to hell. But have everlasting life. Everlasting life is found in the blood of the cross of Jesus. And in John chapter 3, verse 36, it says, "He that believeth on the Son," that Jesus, "hath everlasting life." Well, that's why Jesus comes and paid the price through the burial and the bodily resurrection. It's because all mankind can have eternal life if they so choose. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." If they don't want to believe the gospel, if they don't want to repent of the gospel, the last part of this verse says, "But the wrath of God abideth on him." Well, every person has a free will, whether to receive Jesus or to reject Jesus. And the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 24, it's in the red. Jesus said, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly," or "I vow, I vow." He said, "What I'm saying is the truth." He said, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word," well, that's the 66 books of the Bible, "and believeth on him," that Jesus, "believeth on him that sent me," that's God the Father that sent Jesus, "has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, unto life." It passed from spiritual death to everlasting life. That is, if they will repent of their sin, pray the sinner's prayer, be washed in the blood of Jesus, and make Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life. John chapter 6, verse 40 says, "And this is the will of him that sent me." This is the will of God the Father that sent Jesus, the Son of God, "that everyone..." which seeth the Son, that's Jesus, and believeth on him, believeth on Jesus, may have everlasting life. This is the gospel. This is the good news. He said, I will raise him up at the last day. This is the resurrection or the rapture of the church. God will raise them up, and we'll meet Jesus in the air. And in John chapter 6, verse 47 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that is believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, hath everlasting life. Now notice John 14, 6 says, Jesus answers and saith unto them, I am the way. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There isn't but one. Jesus is the door. Jesus is not one of many ways. He's the only way. It's through the blood of the cross of Jesus. Jesus is the truth. There's not many truths out there. Jesus is the only truth. It's the word of the living God. The Bible is the truth. No man can come to the Father except they go through the blood of the cross of Jesus. Number two, facts concerning eternal life by John here. It becomes a well springing up in the soul. John chapter 4, verse 14 says, but, here's that word again, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That is the water that Jesus gives. You won't thirst. Your spirit man will be satisfied. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This is the Holy Spirit, beloved. In other words, when Jesus ascended up on high to sit at the right hand of God the Father, he sent another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives within us when we become born again. Number three, people must gather fruit unto life eternal. John chapter 4, verse 36 says, he that reapeth, receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. There's nothing more important than sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. There's no higher calling than that. There's nothing no more important than knowing your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, that you're washed in the blood of Jesus, and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you are going to heaven. Nothing is more important than knowing that fact. Number four, it comes through searching the Scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 39 says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Beloved, we need to search the Scriptures every single day. You know, we need to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We need to read it from cover to cover. We need to hide his word in our heart that we may not sin against him. We need to live by the word of God. And we need to search the Scriptures. For it says, for in them you think you have eternal life. If you think you're saved, we need to make sure and examine ourselves in line with the word of God. And they are they which testify of me. The word of God testifies of Jesus. The Holy Spirit bears witness and testifies of Jesus. Number five, I'll stop with this one. People must labor for it. John 6:27 says there, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which meat which endureth unto everlasting life. That's what we should strive after, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has God the Father sealed. Beloved, there's nothing no more important than being born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. If you're hearing this under the sound of my voice, all you got to do is call upon the name of Jesus. John 6:63 said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All you got to do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away all my sins. Give me eternal life. I believe that you went to the cross, you shed your blood, you died, and God raised you from the dead. And with my heart I believe unto righteousness, and with my mouth I confess you as my Lord and Savior. All you got to do is pray that, mean it from your heart, and you will be born again. Well, you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ today, and I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Thank you, brother. Salvation is very important, and you've heard the words.
The Lord is in his holy temple, that all of the earth keep silent before him.
God.
So it's in your hands.
when we follow after God, when we stop thinking about what we want to say and do, but just follow after God and do what He wants done, things tend to get better with everybody around you. You know, especially the mothers, you know, we have a nest and a home and all that. We want it like we want it. But in the spirit, we want things like God wants it, like Jesus wants it, like He died for it. And I just praise God that whatever said or done, Lord, it blesses somebody.
Amen.
Because none of us wouldn't know if somebody hadn't told us. Somebody hadn't prayed for us and took the time to explain and tell us about Jesus till we understood. That's what He wants us to do, is study to show ourselves approved unto Him. But He's God. All we have to do is follow close after Him. Well, God bless her. Tonight I want to talk about Ezekiel 41. And it goes, it says, "Keep silent before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raises up the righteous man from the east, called him to his feet, gave the nations before him, and made him ruler over kings. He gave them as a dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow." You know, the things that we deal with, the principalities and consequences from our sins and the lack of knowledge. You know, there's a consequence for the good or the bad. And that's why we have to study to show ourselves approved of what God wants us to do. We are responsible for renewing our mind. Jesus comes into our life, and our lives change forever. We're saved. But, you know, you have to get mighty old sometime before you realize that you can be guided by that Spirit. You can live in that Spirit. You can stay in peace in that Spirit. And you can follow after God closely in that Spirit. But that's the reason why He says that He wants us to give up all. It didn't mean not to have anything. It's just, don't let it have you. You have Jesus, and He'll give you all. Because what? He is all. He's all that we need. He's health. He's protection. He's love. Whatever we need, He is that. And the thing about it is, you know, we can depend upon Him. God will do, regardless of what something looks like. He'll do what He says He'll do if you believe. So, it's not a joke. And when we get our hearts and our minds set on Jesus, you know, we've taken on a job. It's a work that we have to do. And that's to study to show ourselves, make sure our lives are approved by the Lord. And when our lives are approved by the Lord, we want other people to learn and know about Jesus. We want everything about them, their work, their health, their children, their husbands, or whatever. We want them saved. We don't want them sick, broke, hungry. Because why? We know God better than that. The devil will try to show you like, well, you don't have this or don't have that. But whatever you're looking at, if you get your eyes off of it and get it on Jesus, you'll have what you need. But you know, they're talking about the wisdom of the old. I'll agree that the wisdom and youth are not combined. But we are responsible as parents. We are responsible as grandmothers and great-grandmothers and whatnot to teach the youth and to teach everybody around us the things that the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is what our guide in life is to be about. We have a government in this country. But we are to pray for the leaders of the government. We are not to break any of their laws, but we're to follow Jesus first in our lives. And when we follow Jesus in our lives, all kinds of things, it's like go walk alongside the road. You know you got to go down the road. It's not about the mud puddles and the bricks and the sticks and the truckload of this and the truckload of that and all kinds of trouble. It's not about all the things that's alongside the road. It's what you decided to do about what is alongside the road. It's your choice. You woke up this morning. And you know, you have a choice about what you can do today. You can pray all day. You can worship God all day. God forbid you can cuss all day or fight all day. It's your choice. But why do something that you know you don't want? You know, a lot of us, we spend our years, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, why didn't you stop? It's not because whatever you were doing is chasing you. It is because it's in you. You're the one who have to give it up and be willing to change, to take Jesus in that place. To ask him for his strength, because we can't save nothing. We can't do nothing without him. He is our life. Okay. Verse 3, he pursueth them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet, who has wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. Draw near and come. Now, this is Jesus. There was nobody else to come and save us. Nobody else was worthy. So Jesus sent his son to die for us. He came out of God's heaven and took on a body down here. And carried the cross and shed his blood for us. And out of all his love, and that's all he is, love and provision and what we need. He's grace and he's mercy, he's forgiveness. But we want to keep our mess, unforgiveness. Stuff that happened 60 years ago, we bring it up today just like it's brand new. You know, we tear one another down by starting out, you know, every bad bitter thing that we can think about each other. None of that should be within us. And if we catch ourselves doing it, we should take it back, ask for forgiveness, and start to send us over. You know, and bless God. Because what I want for you is what I'm going to receive. How I treat your dog is how I'm going to be treated. What my reaction and my response is going to be. We cannot fool God. He knows our hearts and he knows our mind. Now we have to, it's when he lifts us up, he'll lift us up and we'll realize that I have to renew my mind. I can't keep going back to this and going back to that. You keep on thinking cake, 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 cake. Well, you're going to make one, go and buy one or something so you know you're not to have cake. So why are you thinking about cake? Don't be thinking about nothing that you don't want and don't need. And certainly don't be making no pictures of your, in your head of nothing that's not godly. And if you do, you don't have to speak it out. You can lay it down right there. You don't have to call it to life by speaking it out. You speak it out into your own path and go right out and fall right over the sticks and stones and the rudeness and ugliness that we participate in and fall right into it ourselves. Not your rudeness, but mine. So we need to love one another. We have to ask God for his strength, his righteousness that keeps us, his love that's unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally. It don't matter. You can't get no worse than lost. But he loves us just the same. He died for us. So one of us is not better than the other. One may know a little bit about this than the other. But we could get together and join our knowledge and join hands and be a force against the enemies that's out there to provoke and to mess up our children's lives and to get our children into things that we don't want them in and God don't want them in, to take so many years of their good life when they could be taught about Jesus. But we have to not only teach them, but we have to be an example in their lives of what the gospel means in our lives. Church is fine. You go to church to get together to worship the Lord. If I go to church, I go to worship the Lord. I'm not going there to worship the building or the pastor or the choir or nothing there. I'm going to worship the Lord. So wherever I am, I'm going to worship the Lord. Why? Because I choose to worship him. And the only way that we can make it is to praise and worship him. And we're going to all find ourselves trying to get in the ditch because the world is a calling. And there's all kinds of things out there, and instigators and all kinds of things out there to get us back in the ditch. But we have a sound mind. God gave us a sound mind. And, you know, fear is heavy, heavy hanging over your head. If you do this, then that's going to happen. If that's what the Bible says, then you know better. So why not choose what the Bible says? Always think about what does the Bible say about it. We have the Word of God to live by. I might interpret the Word one way, and you might interpret another, but still, it's the Word of God. Have you ever thought about the Word of God in one way, or thought about something in one way, and then if somebody else comes along with another being, you say, well, I never thought about it that way. But that's how we go from one glory to another glory. And we go to one glory, then there's another mountaintop over there. When we get to the top of that mountain, it's time to go to the other mountaintop. But see, we always got to go through the valley. And when we go through the valley, we got to deal with what's alongside the road. Now, what's alongside the road ain't really got nothing to do with the journey, but your response to whatever's going on has to do with you and your journey, because it is you that decide what tomorrow's going to be like. We reap what we sow. We all reap what we sow. I reap what I sow. You reap what you sow. And so many times in life, when people have righteous spirits, they think that you reap what I sowed. I'm sorry. That's not what the Bible says. And so a lot of times people, they get cocky and, my Lord, they just get all righteous in themselves. And first thing you know, God has cut them down. He'll either cut them down to righteousness, or he'll cut them on out of here sometime. And that goes for me, too. So it's not he's not a toy, and he's not something to play with. It's time, as good as God is to us, it is time that we praise and worship the Lord. It is time for us to give him time, some of our time in praise and worship and doing what he wants done. It's not about us having a party. It's life and parties and all that. If you notice, it don't do nothing but take away something you needed for tomorrow or the next day, or grew something that you don't need that's come up from the next day, last week. So, you know, it's like being in a class, and we're here to learn what about Jesus. And the thing about it is, in this world, we are born here in this world into sin. And everything that I knew was right opposite from what the Word says. And so when you catch yourself not thinking about the Word of God, when you catch yourself not lifting up Jesus, then it's time to check yourself and get back in line with the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing in darkness that we want. There's no healing in darkness. There's no forgiveness in darkness. There's no peace in darkness. It's only in the light and only in Christ Jesus is peace and love and joy, because what they're the fruits of God's Spirit. And it does not exist in this world because they are not of this world. They are of the Spirit. And they're not out here in the world. They are inside you. So you can let the inside of you grow, and life gets better and better and better. And have you ever seen somebody that was down and out and things all, you just think they wouldn't make it? Next time you see them, God has lifted them up and straightened things out, and it's just amazing because that's what God does. Then there are others who, you know, you never would think that they'd wind up in such shape. But you can't choose something other than Jesus, and it's going to turn out right, because it's not. And when we leave Jesus, we've left what we want and what we need. Nobody else has any power but Jesus. And we can trust him because he died for us. He keeps us. And, you know, Father, in the name of Jesus today, Lord, I come as humble as I know how, thanking you, my Father God, for your grace and your mercy. Thanking you for your love and your protection, Father, not only for me, but for the Christians and the people who are willing to walk for it, Lord God. And you stand with your arms out today, Lord, saying, come, and I have forgiveness, and I'll make things right, Lord God. Give people ears to hear your word, my Father God. Give them a mind, Lord, to come with an honest heart, Lord, and to renew their mind and to live in your joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. In other words, I can't do it, but God does not fail. His love and his joy and his peace and everything is bigger than anything that's not godly. He overcame the world when he come down here. Why he came? For us. Because we had a right to the tree of life. And Adam and Eve are the ones that disobeyed and chose something else. So when we chose something else, we were born into sin. But Jesus loved us. God loved us so much that he sent his son down here for us. And so in Jesus' name, Father, the ones out there that are in darkness, Lord, the ones that are out there, Father, that don't know where they're going to sleep, nor where they're going to stay. And, Lord God, open their eyes and let them know that you are what they need, Lord God. Chasing after things in this world, my Father, is a waste of time. Get in the Word of God. Give God your heart and lift him up daily. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Appreciate that wonderful message. We are here to grow in the things of God. Not the things of the world, but the things of God. Praise the Lord.
You bring me joy, but joy cannot ever have.
Wow, you bring me joy. More joy than I've ever had. No one can bring you the joy that God brings. Tonight I want to talk from 1 John, the 5th chapter, starting at verse 13. And I want to do 13, 14, and 15. This is what John wrote. These things I have written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. By believing who Jesus Christ is, you have eternal life. You think that's an easy thing, right? Try to tell someone that you were born of a virgin. Try to explain a person born of a virgin without an earthly father, the Holy Spirit overshadows his mother and impregnates her with him. Try to go around telling people that God is your father. Amen. That you're going to die on a cross and you're going to resurrect after 3 days in the ground and 3 nights in the ground. You're going to resurrect. So when we come to grips with who Jesus is, it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal this word to you. It is not something you can get. It is something the Holy Spirit reveals to you, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 3. Paul says, no one will call Jesus accursed by the Spirit of God, and no one will say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You just can't believe what Jesus did. You can't believe how he got here. And you can't believe that he went to a cross and he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights and he resurrected from the dead. You can't believe that. There's no way you can believe that. But when God reveals it to you and he begins to prick your heart, then you can believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he died for you. And once you get this down, in verse 14 it says, and this is the confidence we have in him. See, when you believe, born again by believing that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, Jesus Christ went to the cross, a perfect sacrifice for us. He goes to the cross and he dies for us. And that death on the cross guarantees us eternal life. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not perfect, I'm not righteous, I'm not holy. Well, forgiveness makes you perfect. Forgiveness makes you holy. Forgiveness makes you righteous. You are righteous before God because he made Jesus to be sin for you, who knew no sin, that you may be made the righteousness of God in him. You got to believe that. You got to walk out of imperfect atmosphere into perfectness. I know you can't make yourself perfect. You can't work yourself into perfection, begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Your life came because of Jesus. A perfect sacrifice, taking your sins upon him. That's what makes you qualified to get to heaven, because of what Jesus Christ did. So it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, wow, anything according to his will, to what? His will. According to his will. Amen. His will, he hear us. So if you want God to hear what you got to say, then you need to ask in his will. Not your will, but his will. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Amen. That thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the will we're supposed to be asking in. And then he says in verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, we know whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. We know that we have the petition. We have the request that we ask of him, because we know his will. We're going to pray his will. We're going to pray with expectation, because we know the heart of our Father. We know how much our Father loves us. We know how much he cares about us. We know when we go to him, he's going to perform his will. In John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you by my Father. So when we began to ask God for things, we began to ask his desires. We began to operate in his desires. When we operate in his desires, we have what we ask for. And as we began to study his word starts changing the environment on the inside of us. And once he changed the environment on the inside of us, guess what? His will is stamped, is sealed on the inside of us. And it began to change the environment, the atmosphere on the outside of us. That's good news. I don't know about you, but that's good news that we are changed because of God. As we study his word, as we get his word inside of us, it changes us. It makes us like him. And we want what he designed. We begin to have the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. We begin to live in the fruit of the Spirit. You say, well, it's hard to do. Well, it's not hard to do when the Holy Spirit inside of you is doing the work. So if I, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Remember that. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Remember, keep that in mind. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at it. It says, think about this. The fruit of the Spirit, as you read this fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, destroy people. You don't need somebody to tell you to do right when you love people. You're not going to gossip about those people. You're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just want you to know that God loves you. God cares about you. He wants you to let him take control. I just want you to know that God wants to take control of your life so he can make your life better. Not to destroy you, but to make you better. That is good news by Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Kiara?
Yes?
Go ahead and minister.
Okay. I'll be reading out of Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah, bear with me. I'm finding it. Sorry, you guys. I'm so sorry. I just got out of study. I'm so sorry. I'm finding it. Bear with me all.
But as we were talking about the confidence.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
we do.
Yeah.
We have confidence in God. Because greater is in us than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm at Jeremiah 29. I'm starting at verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me. When you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place which I caused you to be carried away captive. I was reading this, and the Lord, you know, as I was reading that, it gave me the same meaning as 2 Corinthians 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14, where the Lord said, "If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and forgive their land." Forgive their sin and heal their land. Well, the Lord lets me know right then and there, you know, the enemy can have us so far deep in sin that we will feel the wounds. The wounds of being ashamed, the wounds of lies and letdowns. And being on this side is freedom, peace, liberty, joy, love. You know, how the brother was saying earlier, the fruits of the Spirit. Being in Christ is not a place of grieving. It's not a place to grieve. It's a place of freedom. Sometimes we can be so far away from our spirit that we will blame ourselves and blame the Lord for just being good. I just want to, you know, encourage someone. That if you pray and seek the Lord's face and turn from your ways, allow your heart to be changed, allow your heart to be his heart. And as you do these things, he'll heal. He'll hear from heaven and he'll heal your land. I want to read from Romans Romans chapter 8. I'm going. Sorry, I'm a little slow, you guys. Forgive me. Okay, Romans 8. I want to read from... Okay, so it says right here, Romans 8 and 15. So it says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba." You know, sometimes in this adoption, we go through mountains in our life, but the mountains that we are experiencing is demonstration of the spirit. We go through these things for growth to take place. And as we go through this growth, it says if you go a little further down in Romans 8, it says that we cry with utterings, with labors and utterings that we can't speak. It's because it's something on the inside of us is dying as we go through this transformation. But God, what he's trying to do is he's separating us so that greater can happen on the inside of us. You know, the separation comes so inhabitation can take place, so expectation can be there. And while expectation is there, elevation takes place. We begin to go higher. I just want to, you know, bless someone out there that's going through or, you know, that's lost. Just keep holding on, keep holding on, don't faint, because as you hold on, you can say to that mountain, get hence behind you, you can tell it to move, the harder and longer we hold on, the easier it gets, because the more confidence and boldness we get as we stay in the word. This is our armor, prayer is our weapon. I just want to say stay in there and just keep trusting in God, and all things happen, you know, all things good happen to those that love him. And that's about it. Thank you.
Appreciate that. That's good. Praise God. Thank God for the messages tonight. And I know that God is pleased with what's going on. I pray that those who are listening tonight will get the messages from the messengers. I just want to thank God for all of you who have ministered. But I know that God is teaching all of us how to live like him. Father, we thank you for this message tonight. We just thank you, Lord, that all of our messages just mash together, Lord, into one message, Lord, that we will elevate our thinking. We will elevate the way we live. We will elevate our worship to you, Lord, because you have killed darkness inside of us, and you continue to kill darkness inside of us so we can be the light of the world. Thank you, Father, tonight. I thank you for using Brother Shannon, Father, to minister the word. I thank you for using Sister Mary, Father, to minister the word. I thank you for using Sister Tierra to minister the word, Father. I pray tonight, Lord, that word would just go forward in power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you as we go out on this stuff.
Gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus, oh Jesus. We gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus, oh Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. And we sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. We shout glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings, the name above all names, the name of Jesus.
bless y'all.
God bless you.
God bless you. I love you.
God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.